Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. Normally this segment, I'm with Ross Tucker and we do Ask Ross. But since I'm with Andrew P. Shea, we're going to change the name of the segment to Ask Andy. This is where we take your questions for Andy, and then the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross going forward, it's really easy. You just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button there, or you can email us at info@ksnsports.net. Andrew P., are you ready?
Hey, I'll take food questions too. I'm just saying, I know fans out there, you know Ross, you say Reading, Pennsylvania or food and you're definitely higher up on the food chain automatically. So, I'm just saying, I'm not the Reading, Pennsylvania guy, but I'll take food questions if you want, Jimmy. It's up to you what you ask me.
I think that's universal on our staff that we will all take food questions. Let's begin, though, with some football talk. This is David from Lancaster who says, Mike Yurcich has said that he plans on calling games from the sideline instead of the booth. What impact do you think this could have for Clifford and the rest of the offense?
David, good question. I like the fact, I don't have a problem with a coach calling plays from up in the box. But I like the fact, since he asked about the quarterback position, I think calling plays from the sidelines allows you to get eye-to-eye, face-to-face with your quarterback. You get to hear from everybody else what's going on because they go back and they have their sit-by-position groups and they talk about what's going on and what's working and what's not. But I think a key component is you get you don't have to talk into a headphone set. You get eyes to eyes and face to face with your quarterback. Whether that's good or bad, it could be bad if it's not going well. Like, you know, get your head out of your fifth point of contact, Cliff. Let's go. What are you thinking? Look at the read. Look downfield. You know, why are you checking down so much? We're running it and it's working and it's open. You're not seeing this. What are you seeing? What are they throwing at you? Tell me what you're seeing. Eye to eye. Face to face, I think that component helps the quarterback as more than it helps the play caller or the coordinator. But I think it's very important for both because it allows them to communicate directly to each other. Direct communications, Jimmy, it's important. Very good question, David.
All right, you're making a note of that. It's a good question by David. I think, Andy, it's not only being able to talk to Sean Clifford directly, what he saw and so on, the technical aspects of it, but I think being able to be the psychiatrist there, the therapist for Sean Clifford.
I do think there's a disadvantage because seeing it from up high, it's different. You see the game differently down at field level than you do up high, but I still think there's more advantages to being on the field. The seeing it up high, in other words, you still have to have it. If you're on the field as the OC play caller, if you still need a set of eyes up high that you trust and know are going to tell you what you need to hear.
Right. My point being able to be face to face with Sean, you can look in his eye and see if he is panicking at this point. Does he have an adrenaline rush going? Is he too excited? Right. Those are the things that you could deal with probably better face to face than over the phone.
Too excited. Hey, Sean, like cool down, cool, chill, bro, yeah. Relax. Yeah. We're good.
Be a calm voice.
Yes. All right.
Let's go to Keith in Carlisle, who says, the secondary only had 4 picks last season. How do they increase that this season? The first obvious answer is you play more games. That will help.
Right. So let's think about this, right? Brent Pry defenses, are they ever known as sort of a turnover machine defense? Think about it, Jimmy. Go back 2015, 2016. Think back. I don't ever recall considering Penn State's defense as sort of a turnover machine type defense. I think they I think they've been known for creating mayhem in the pocket. I know they've been known for falling flat on their face in the fourth quarter to go on the other side of the table. So I just think that I've never seen like a ball hawking safety or a ball hawking, you know, corner and grab. I just don't think it's a realistic expectation for them to be a turnover machine. I think part of turnovers is luck, especially for interceptions. Interceptions are more about preparation and technique than they are anything else. It's jumping a route, being sticky enough to be on the inside, and a quarterback makes some mistakes and throws to an inside shoulder versus an outside shoulder, and you got to be exactly there. There's an element of luck in interceptions and interceptions only. So I think if Penn State plays, you know, in 12 regular season games, an expectation of 8, maybe 9 interceptions would be a really good number, in my opinion.
Well, going by over the last couple of years' performance, Andy, one way they can improve the number of interceptions is don't drop the ball. Don't drop the interceptions, okay? That's number one. Number two, I love how James Franklin describes true freshman Kalen King. He says, the ball finds him. And it's a cute way to put it. The fact is, Kalen King finds the ball. We know that. I think that will be helpful. I think one other aspect to this is Jaquan Brisker at safety. I think just with his experience, being a returning multi-year starter, he's seen it all, done it all. I think we're going to see him being more of a ball-hawking safety also.
And the crazy part is the quarterbacking in the Big Ten Conference isn't all that great when it comes to the pass game. Like, it's not a great quarterback conference.
No.
So it's you would
not,
think there should
and
be
it hasn't
more.
Been.
So,
all right, let's go to Sean, who's from Dawson, PA. He says, with the 12-team playoff being discussed and the conference championship champions getting auto bids, do you see conferences getting rid of divisions? For example, say Justin Fields gets injured in the Big Ten title game and a 8-4 Northwestern gets an auto bid to the playoffs by beating Ohio State in the championship game.
Huh. Interesting. Do I see conferences going away from the division status because of it? No, because I think they still need a clear path to conference championship games, because an expanded playoff system is going to automatically reward conference champions. So I think more than anything, Sean, I think conferences need a crystal clear, identifiable, in black and white writing with tiebreakers, all lined up, and a clear and written path to that championship game in order to determine who the champion is and who gets the automatic bid from their conference. That's just, he's not wrong. He doesn't have a valid point, but I kind of like the idea of like, oh, that would be pretty cool. But I still think if that's the way the expanded college football playoffs are going to go, and it seems every indication is that's going to be the starting point, is you win a Power 5 conference championship, you are in. They have to create a crystal clear path for that, and two divisions is it.
The thing to remember, too, is if you're up to 12 teams, and if your concern is you have a really good team that gets upset in the championship game, you might be concerned overall that, hey, a not really great Northwestern team makes the playoffs. But I don't think you have to worry about a really good Ohio State team then not making the playoffs because of that loss. Because, you know, if you go into that conference championship game 11-1 and you have injuries or a fluke or whatever that caused you to lose and you're 11-2, guess what? You'll still be one of the 12 best teams, and you'll still be in the playoffs, right, Andy?
I don't think you have to worry about a really good Ohio State team ever losing a game under circumstances and not currying favor or sort of, you know, getting a little bit of slack from the College Football Playoff Committee, a.k.a. 2016. It's already been done. many, many times. So I don't think you ever have to worry about Ohio State not getting any sort of slack from the College Football Playoff Committee.
Okay, let's see. Let's go with Ann from Ann Arbor. Interesting. Oof. Last time Ann sent us a question, she was from State College. So Ann says, as Penn State approaches the max 25 recruits for the 22 class, is it possible we'll see some early recruits decommit, perhaps even from pressure from the staff, to make room for higher-ranked players?
Absolutely not. No, I think the football staff would work on the back end to work their scholarship numbers. If James Franklin said at the front end, if he had 26 or 27 in this class and he said, this is where I need to be, that, in other words, he's telling those below him, fix it. Make my number work. I need this many kids in this class and I don't want any of them running away. So I don't see that scenario happening on the front end.
And I don't see a lot of lower rated players who came in early that Penn State would now say, boy, I wish I had that scholarship free. All right. You know, early people were like the tight end Jerry Cross, wide receiver Caden Saunders, quarterback Bo Prabula. These early guys, I don't think there's, and I don't think that's Penn State's style. Plus, I don't think they have many good fits for that. Let's squeeze one more in real quick. Brad from Perkasie, now that name, image, and likeness rights are allowed in Pennsylvania, what Penn State players do you want sponsored by KSN? I'm going to change the question a little bit, Andy. If KSN were to have a player, you've met some of these players, you know some of them personnel, what personality would we want as a regular on our Keystone Kickoff show?
Each and every week, I think you would like to hear. I'm not going to go with an obvious choice. I would, if I had the choice, I would choose PJ Mustipher. I would love to hear from PJ Mustipher every single week. It's not a glitz guy. I just think he's an important player that has a lot to say. I like his voice. I think PJ Mustipher would be awesome.
I would go Caden Wallace, because we had
him. I thought about him.
I'll tell you what, I would have on both him and his dad, okay? I think that would be a real fun segment. That is it for quarter number three. Stick around. We're going to preview the defense in quarter four and announce a winner. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. That means GoPSURV.com is also back. Regular listeners of Keystone Sports know all about it. Drive your car to Happy Valley and an RV is there waiting for you. Tailgate nonstop from Friday to Sunday. Don't hassle with parking as a free shuttle will take you to and from the game. For more info, go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467.
Hey y'all, it's Blake Shelton here, introducing y'all to the all-new American Brewed Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade. Made for days when schedules are empty and coolers are full, Smithworks Hard Seltzer Lemonade is a perfect choice for celebrating good times. Available now in four Heartland-inspired flavors. Check out smithworksusa.com for a store nearest you.
Premium malt beverage with natural flavors. 5% ABV. Copyright 2021 Smithworks Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.